translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for His uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. It's a long purport. Very long. Becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha apagama, the disappearance of all anarthas, or the miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted miserable conditions. The entire Vedic civilization is meant to relieve from these unwanted miseries, but persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Ishatantrayam Urudami Badam, they are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life, Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai Gaura Nithai Ki Jai. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that materialistic education expands the influence of Maya. Such an education induces the conditioned soul to be increasingly attracted to materialistic life and to stray further and further away from liberation from unwanted miseries. One may ask why highly educated persons do not take to Krishna conscious. The reason is explained in this verse. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide, fully Krishna conscious spiritual master, there is no chance of understanding Krishna. The educators, scholars, and big political leaders worshipped by millions of people cannot understand the goal of life and take to Krishna consciousness, for they have not accepted a bona fide spiritual master and the Vedas. Therefore, in the Mundaka Upanishads 3.2.3, it is says, Nayam atma pravachanena labhya namedya nabuhana bahuena strutena. One cannot become self-realized simply by having an academic education. By presenting lectures in an erudite way, pravachanena labhya, or being very intelligent scientists who discovers many wonderful things. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only one who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and taken the dust of his lotus feet can understand Krishna. First, one must understand how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The only means is to become Krishna conscious. And to become Krishna conscious very easily, one must take shelter of a realized soul, a Mahat or Mahatma, whose only interest is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Mahatmanas tu mam partham daiva prakritin asvitaha bhajanta anayo manaso jatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Unquote. Therefore, to end the unwanted miseries of life, one must become a devotee. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana survai gunas tatra samastase suraha. One who has unflinching devotional service in Krishna consistently manifests all good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Yasya Devi para bhakti hiryata devi tata guru tasyaifo katita yarta prakasanat mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Svetasvatara Upanishads 6.23. Yam evaisha vinutitena labhyas tasyaiva atman vivanuti tanushyam. The Lord is obtained only by one whom he chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. That's from the Mudaka and Padashads. These are the Vedic injunctions. One must take shelter of a self-realized spiritual master, not a materially educated scholar or politician. One must take shelter of a niskinchanana, a person engaged in devotional service and free from material contamination. That is the way to return home, back to Godhead. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swam Badantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Svya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasiri Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prahlad Maharaj, powerful statements. Five-year-old boy, amazing. What five-year-old boy can speak such deep philosophical teachings? He's a Mahabhagavat, great soul. He appeared in this world to teach religious principles in a very, what we say, complete way. Nothing less than pure devotional service in its utmost understanding of pure devotional service. And he's preaching to someone who doesn't want to listen, his father. Because he has affection and care and concern for his father, he's trying to make him Krishna conscious. He's also shown how foolish he is by thinking the way he does and acting the way he does, by pointing out his defects. Now, you're trying to become successful in life, but you don't know what success is. You think success is having kingdom, having money, having facilities, having power, having control, having servants. But that's not success. That's the way to hell. Here's the way to success. One has to become Krishna conscious. Last thing his father wanted to hear, oh, Krishna conscious. You know, he was mortified just to hear the word Krishna or Vishnu, either one. He was so, I guess you could. When I was a kid, there was a TV show. I forgot the name of the show, but it was like a guy who was totally lazy. Completely lazy. His program was laziness, and he was maha lazy. So if someone ever said the word work in his presence, he would shiver, shake, and practically faint in anxiety. And then if he ever tried to repeat the word work, he would like say it in such a way that it was like a condemned statement. So that's Prahlad Maharaj's father. The word Vishnu just scares him. Not scares him, but makes him so unhappy and so agitated. All he can do is think to retaliate. So what does Prahlad Maharaj do? He's preaching about God, about Vishnu, about Krishna. He's fearless. He's basically saying you're a fool. You don't know what, you got saw everything, but you actually missed everything at the same time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quoted here. Materialistic education expands the influence of Maya. Maya's already there, but it makes it even expand. Why? Because it makes you a fool. PhD. Sometimes we used to say pile it high and deep. PhD. I mean, what do you know? All you know is facts, figures. You can't save yourself. There's that famous story where one scholar, really quite proud scholar, and he came to India. He was a Westerner. He wanted to explore, the Vedic culture a little bit. So he had to cross the river in a boat. So he gets into the boat, and there's a very simple boatman there. So they're going across the river, and the scholar is thinking, looking at this boatman, thinking, this man he's just like a useless person. All he does is row boat. That's all he can do. So he decides to give him a little education, feeling compassionate. So he says, there's so many stars up there. It's called astronomy, astrology. Do you know the science of astronomy? You're out underneath the stars also. He said, I don't know. I'll just row my boat. That's all. The boatman says 50% of your, the scholar says 50% of your life's wasted. So they're going on and still crossing the river. So the scholar tries again. He says, you know anything about oceanography? The science of displacement of water, how it works, how the boat moves through the water, different. And he didn't even know what the word was, what to speak about knowing what it was about, So he said, I just row my boat. That's how I live. So the scholar said, 75% of your life's wasted. So then a storm comes, tremendous storm, and it starts raining, and the boat's filling up with water. And it looks like the boat's going to eventually, capsize. So it's a real struggle. And the scholar's in anxiety, the boatman's doing his best. And then the boatman says to the scholar, do you know how to swim? The scholar says, no. He says, 100% of your life is wasted. So you may know so many things, but if you don't know Krishna, you know nothing. What is that verse? One who knows Krishna knows everything. The one who knows Krishna doesn't even want to know anything else, because knowing Krishna means complete knowledge. So here, to have so much material, and Prabhupada, he really emphasizes this point over and over. Politicians, scholars, educators who are prestigious and have big positions of the world, they can speak nicely. They even can speak on scripture. They can even quote scripture. But because they have no devotion, because they've never surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna's representative, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalo. It's useless. Sometimes we glorify or we appreciate people in such positions, right? But it's like, I guess you can say, the farther, if you're drowning and you have a crown on your head, this is a verse from Bhagavatam, you're going to drown faster. You might say, the crown is so nice. It looks so decorative. Look, how attractive I am with the crown. But if you're drowning, the crown's going to bring you down faster. So all of one's material education, if it's not used in the service of the Lord, which is meant to be, it just brings one farther and farther away from the goal of life. And not only does it do that, it creates an illusion that you're okay. That's the thing. It's the illusion of having material success or prestige or education that creates this idea, I'm okay. Or if you have wealth, a lot of wealth. Some people have a lot of money. They think, I have a lot of money. I can do what I want. I can control others. I'm free. I don't have to work. But they're so much enamored by this wealth that they lost touch with themselves. They think that because they have that facility, they're successful in life, which is the greatest form of illusion. Out of all the forms of material illusions, it's mentioned in the 10th canto in Srimad Bhagavatam in the story with Manigriva and Nalakuvara, that the greatest form of material pride is wealth. Not beauty, not education, not good birth, but wealth. And you see, sometimes we see so many wealthy people. It's hard for them to bend down, get down on the ground and offer humble obeisances. And unless you do that, you can't approach the Supreme Personality of God in any situation. So having these things, unless we understand their connection with the source and use it in that way, it just expands the influence of Maya, as Prabhupada says. People go to school, learn so many things. You come out an educated fool. That's what it means. You're educated in a foolish way. You can't really save yourself. You don't know the goal of life. Therefore, here, what is the process? The process is to take shelter of Krishna's representative, who is fully Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says, one who is fully Krishna conscious, who is fully engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. Take shelter of that person. And what it says, take the dust of that person's lotus feet and smear it on your body as your ornaments. That is the beginning of success in life. And by what is that dust of the lotus feet of the spiritual master? That is his instructions. Prabhupada quotes that verse, which is one of my favorite verses. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tasyaite katita yarta prakasanante mahatmanaha. That faith, or complete faith, in both the Lord and the spiritual master, that's success. That's perfection. All knowledge is automatically revealed. And how you become Krishna conscious? Here, it's explained, this verse, Prabhupada picks this verse from the Mundaka Upanishads. It's interesting, because we think, all right, I take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and I'm endeavoring to follow his instructions. So I'm in the right position, I make progress. But Krishna consciousness cannot be attained other than one thing, when Krishna gives it to you. Only when Krishna is pleased and he's satisfied with your devotional service, then he gives it to you. All your endeavors in Krishna consciousness are meant to attract the attention of Krishna. Prabhupada said, no, Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to work in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. Darshan. People take darshan before the deity. So there's two things, drishya and drista and drashya. One is he who is being seen and he who is seeing. Drishya is the seer. Drashya is one who's being seen. So when we take darshan, who's seeing and who is being seen? Krishna's seeing, and we're the ones that are being seen, not the other way around. We think, oh, I'm going to see the Lord. Well, what can you say? You can only put yourself in the proper consciousness where Krishna wants to see you. And if he sees you, you can get a little bit of understanding of what you're seeing. That's the way it is. And Bhaktisiddhanta was so strong on that point, and Prabhupada also mentions it in different ways, that when we present ourselves before the Lord, it's that when, if Krishna's pleased, then that is real darshan. Now let me see what he's wearing. I mean, that's nice too. But that's not the real darshan. The real darshan is to be seen by the Lord. So, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati emphasizes that the eyes are connected to the ears. When the ears become purified through the process of hearing, the eyes become transformed. Then one can see, or one can begin to see, like that. Premanjaritam bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokananti yam shama sundara achinta guna sarupa Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vijay. Krishna is so beautiful. If we could actually see Krishna in his full beauty, you wouldn't be standing. You'd be on the ground. not conscious either. You'd be unconscious. Really? We're seeing something wonderful. But how much can we actually see? That's Krishna. And his beauty is fully manifested for those who have the eyes to see. So when Krishna's pleased, then how do you please him? By following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj here. By taking the dust of the lotus feet of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. There's nothing else, nothing second. One who makes the instructions of the spiritual master one's, what we say, foodstuffs. Sura bhakata charana reno bhajana anukula bhakata seva parama siddhi prema lati anukula. Charana reno. Reno means dust, charan means feet. Take the dust, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. I'm taking the, this is my food, this is my substance, this is what gives me nourishment, energy, substance in life. Everything is there in the dust of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So, this is the process here. Prahlad Maharaj is trying to teach his father. He's in the position of compassion, in a position of being a spiritual master to his father. Of course, his father is not open, but he's still trying. Why? Because it's his father. If it was somebody else, probably not as much. But because it's his father, he still respects. He follows the Vedic culture. One should give respect to one's seniors, even if they're demoniac. In this case, it is. So he's very compassionate. And that's the process. So no other qualification. Sometimes devotees come to Krishna consciousness and they have good qualities. They can do things. They're expert at things. And they can, you know, perform that expertise in a way that brings about some, what we say, good results. By maybe building buildings or, you know, even in a more subtle way, by playing music nice or singing very nicely or doing, you know, having some kind of material talent. And one may start to think, not even consciously but unconsciously, that the expertise I have is the qualification for success in devotional service. But look what Kulavecchar Sridhar. I mean, he was a banana salesman. He hardly had any clothes. His clothes were full of holes. He had a house that was just as holy as his clothes. When it rained, it would fill up with rain. He could barely eat from day to day. He was so skinny. And all he did was sell banana cups, banana leaves, banana plates to people. And he would take half the money and give it to the Ganga for worship, and the other half he would somehow go on in his needs. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with his devotion that he would spend 2 to 3 hours a day just talking to Sridhar, haggling with over the prices of the banana leaves and the banana cups, just to get his association. The Lord was appreciating such a humble Vaishnav. But he would tease him. Sometimes you ever do that and somebody's really humble, so you tease them a little bit? It's kind of like a sweet way of exchanging with someone. I do that anyway. Sometimes I see somebody really humble, I like to tease them. But sometimes it doesn't work. But, you know, it's just some humble person. They're so sweet and so wonderful to be with that you just kind of like feel kind of like a little playful in that person's company. So he would do that. He would tease him. And then sometimes he would even say, you know, Sridhar, you're just charging too much. You're cheating the brahmanas. You know, you have a good treasure, and it's hidden away. I know your treasure, and someday I'm going to tell the whole world about your treasure. And Sridhar would say, what you see is what you get. This is it. I got nothing. I just got my little house, which is full of holes, and some clothes, and a broken old metal pot that he used to use for all his personal needs. He had nothing. Lord Chaitanya was so happy to spend hours a day just with Sridhar, just teasing him. Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And so, but of course, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with his devotion that later on he offered him the whole world. And Sridhar was so happy with just being who he was. He didn't want anything. You know what he said when the Lord offered him anything he wanted? He said, "My dear Lord, why are you giving me trouble? I'm happy. You're giving me all these things. You want to give me a wife, money, you know, all kinds of material. This is just going to disturb my devotion." Sometimes we think, oh, if I have all these other things, I could be more Krishna conscious. But Sridhar's thinking, these things are just a botheration. I don't have time for all these things. I only have time for my devotional activities. So when the Lord is pleased with someone, it doesn't matter what your qualifications are. Of course, when if you have wonderful qualifications, use them for Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada used to say, all your material qualifications are, how Prabhupada would say, dido, zero. So you put a 1 in front of the 0, you got 10. And you put an, if it's 2 zeros, it's 100. And you expand the zeros unlimitedly by putting a 1 there. So your good qualifications can help spread devotional service to others and also help in your own service as long as you're Krishna conscious. But if material qualifications cause one to develop pride, then it's all useless. If we become proud because we are born in good family, proud because we have education or some material talents, proud because we are attractive by bodily features, and become proud of these things, and then we go the other way. We get rejected by Krishna. So, Rani Kashipu, what didn't he have? He had everything, but he was miserable. He was always so disturbed in mind. And that's the nature of people who have a lot. They're never happy, never satisfied. It's like trying to build a fire by putting water on it. It doesn't work. So here, what is the essence of this? Prabhupada makes two things. The essence is to take shelter of Krishna's representative. Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Devotion that there are 64 items that devotees should follow, 64 rules. And the first five or four is all about spiritual master. To take shelter, to get initiation, to engage in his service. And the fourth one is to inquire regularly on how to make advancement in devotional service. Sometimes we forget that one. That's the fourth regulative principle. To every once in a while check in and say, Haribo Guru Maharaj, because that's the way we do it in the Western countries. You know, what's happening? How's it going? You know, how's your travels? People offering you obeisances, how's it going? They get a little hanging. It, maybe not so much here, but if you go to America, it's a little bit more like that. It's like, hey, Maharaj, nice to see you. How's it going? How's the things? How's your bhajan? It's like, I don't mind, but you know, it kind of gets a little wild sometimes. So, you know, it's like that. But it says that actually one should regularly inquire how to make spiritual advancement. How to regularly. If your spiritual master is still on the planet, sometimes devotees come to me and say, Maharaj, you know, and I say, well, did you ask your spiritual master? And they say, well, you know, he's so busy. I don't want to bother him. He's got a lot of things to worry about. You know, I just don't want to add to it. But, you know, the business of the spiritual master is his disciples. That's his main business. Besides his, you know, executing his devotional, service is to serve Krishna by acting as Krishna's representative and helping his followers to become more and more fixed in their process of the execution of their devotional service. So if we sometimes think, well, you know, I don't want to bother, then we might somehow miss out on the opportunity. And if you go down, then that's a real botheration. If you go down, then the spiritual master has a bigger headache. So it's better to see how to make advancement by every once in a while inquiring, how can I make advancement? Well, what do I need to do to overcome my difficulties to make progress in devotional service? It's Rupa Goswami's fourth principle out of the 64. Okay, so Shruti Kirti Prabhu said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, you know, I don't have so much attachment to Krishna, but I'm really attached to you. Is that okay? Prabhupada said, of course. Well, now Prabhupada wasn't saying so much about himself, but if one has attachment to the spiritual master, that attachment is perfection. And then through that attachment to the spiritual master, Krishna becomes revealed through the grace of the spiritual master. Krishna becomes revealed like that. Okay, so any questions or comments? Anyone? Prahlad Maharaj's statements.